What's happening, everybody? You're now tuning in to the Producers Corner with Spud Too Tight. Man, I got a hot show for you today. On the phone with me, I have a music producer and engineer who already has credits under his belts from working with artists like Lil Wayne, R&B singer Ray J, R&B singer Lloyd, and hip-hop MC Jim Jones. Please put your hands together for yourself, folks.
Thank you.
Man, how's it going, dude?
I'm doing good, Spud. How you doing, man?
Oh, man, I'm doing great, man. Thank you for coming and chopping it up with me, man. I do appreciate it, man, and, you know, sharing your expertise and knowledge with the masses, man. I mean, this is what it's all about. So for a lot of people that have a lot of information about you, man, give us a little history of how and when you started in the industry.
Well, you know, music was just a hobby. When I went to college, I had a roommate from Cape Verde at the time. I went to Denison University. His name was... Didn't really have much musical experience. I was, like, listening to music, but, you know, we just downloaded a demo version of a program called Fruity Loops, you know, to make beats and stuff, and that's pretty much just how it all started. Before that, you know, I thought, you know, you had to have, like, tons of equipment and everything to do music, so that kind of opened the doors for me, and through that I kind of taught myself, and we had like cool edit, and then we moved to Acid Pro and then the Pro Tools, and just kept doing it pretty much.
Great, man. So I mean, do you play keyboards, guitar, bass? I read a little about you, man. You're doing a keyboard playing, got a little guitar in there. What else you got?
Yeah, I mean, I play a little keyboard, a little bit of guitar. I mean, I wouldn't really consider myself, you know, like a great musician. I mean, I know the music theory and all this stuff, but really, I think I'm really a great engineer, and, you know, knowing my gear in the studio really helps me to manipulate some of these synthesizers, and, you know, I can figure out little stuff on the guitar. So, you know, that's how I get around.
Right, man. No, I hear that, man. It's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, man, is with your engineering background. I consider myself a pretty gearhead myself, man, and, you know, I don't know when you started recording, but I come from the history of analog recording, man, and, you know, merging from analog into the DAW world, man, you know, was not a real big transition. A lot of pros and cons involved, but again, I'm just happy to be in the DAW world, man. You know, give me a little history of, you know, the couple of recording formats that you've tampered with, and, you know, what are you using now?
Okay, well, I mean, I never really got down on, like, analog tape or anything. All the recording I've always done has just been digital. Like I said earlier, you know, I started with Cool Edit, and I went to Acid Pro, or I think I did Magic Salsa, a bunch of those little programs, and now I pretty much just use Pro Tools, which I love. I think it's a great program, and but, you know, I mean, I think there's still something to, you know, recording to an analog tape. I think there's a warmth to it that you don't really get from the digital, but, you know, there's so much more of a pain in the butt, I think, recording to tape. That digital is just much easier. But that being said, you know, I still use tons of analog gear, you know, like that analog compressors, analog EQs. I think it's much better than plugins, for sure. Not that plugins are necessarily bad, but you don't get the same warmth and fullness. And, you know, like with an analog EQ, you can boost the treble on it without it being super harsh, but it's still crisp and clear. And with the plugins, I think you kind of get a little more harsh sound to it.
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, for me, in my experience working with the external hardware gear, especially a lot of the vintage gear I've used, you're definitely going to get some better color tonality on your signal versus, you know, using the software synths. But, you know, what I do like about the software synth plugins is that, you know, when you're using multiple effects on a particular song and you're running maybe 5-6 sessions a day, it gets to be a real hassle sometimes, man, if those effects processors that you're using that are external, you can't save the programs on it, you know what I mean? So you got to recall those, you know, your knobs and all your settings manually. You know, but what's nice about the plugin world is that I'm able to create sets. Let's say if I have a particular setting I use for a vocalist, I'll name it that vocalist, effect by Tidal. So, you know, if I work with that vocalist again, I can, you know, depending on how their voice is, their tone might have changed within the last couple of months or weeks. But if it's pretty close, I like to pull up those settings on that. Do you kind of categorize your settings that way, or how do you organize your library?
I mean, pretty much the same thing. I'll save my presets, you know, as I go along and just build a bank of them, you know. And that's a good point, you know. I mean, working with the hardware stuff, you definitely, I mean, you can write it down, I guess, but, you know, it's not quite the same as it automatically saving it like a plugin. So that's a good point.
Yeah, man, because you find yourself spending, you know, 30, 45 minutes, man, just pulling up a mix in the analog world, you know, so.
Yeah. But, you know, if you got to do it, sometimes you got to go the extra mile if you have a big client or something. You know, one actual synthesizer that I like that kind of merges the two worlds together is an Access Virus, which I use a lot of. And it's actually, you know, it's like an analog synth. Well, it might actually be digital somehow, but, you know, it's a synth, an outboard synth, and you actually connect it to your computer USB, and it comes up looking like a plugin, so you can actually save all your parameters and all your, you know, EQ settings, reverb settings, and your patches. And
sure, it's like a hybrid synth. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like a plugin, but it's actually all the sounds are being generated from your hardware synth. It's pretty cool. I like it.
Oh, that's real nice, man. There's so many different setups for software synths, man. I definitely want to cover that. You know, I've been using, I would say, 5-6 years combination of hardware synths and software synths, man. And, you know, a lot of the libraries nowadays has a lot more depth and clarity to it when I listen to them. You know, years ago when I first started out, man, it was a little bit thinner sounding. You know, so I always find myself going back to my, you know, my Motif Yamaha racks and my Tritons and my Roland outboard gear. You know, but nowadays, man, the software synths that came around so much, the library is a lot more competitive versus the hardware synths.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think with, you know, synthesizers and stuff, I mean, even a lot of them are really just digital synthesizers, modeling analog. So, I mean, I think you can get a lot closer with a software synth as opposed to like a software signal processor, like a compressor EQ trying to model an analog one. So, if that made any sense. I mean, I think it's easier to model a synthesizer than it is to model a signal processor.
You do. That's my opinion. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, because if you listen to some of the pianos and strings, acoustic guitars, you know, bass guitars, years ago, that was really hard to emulate, you know, on a device, especially on the software side. I mean, it's a lot of guys aren't sampling every single note of the tone of the instrument, you know, so you'll probably get one sample tone and spread throughout your entire keys, and it starts sounding like chipmunks, you know, when you start playing on a higher octave. So, yeah, they definitely.
I mean, you know, one of the best piano emulations I've heard is the Synthegy Ivory, which is just a software piano. And I think, honestly, it blows away my Yamaha Motif on the piano sound. And, I mean, it's just, all it is just, you know, people going in and recording wave samples, you know. So, I mean, it's pretty much doing the same thing. I mean, I don't know. I think the problem with software synthesizers, like, it takes a while to load in the patches somehow. It's like you're sitting there, you know, going through things for hours. It's like annoying, but I don't know. I believe software synths are all right.
Yeah, they're real decent, man. You talked about a lot of the wave sampling. There's a company called East West that has a huge library of sounds, and I played around with a couple of myself, man, and they sound really decent, really nice. And like I said, they kind of blow the doors off my Yamaha pianos, you know, surprisingly. But yeah, like I said, it's just the techniques these guys are using for sampling and, you know, integrating that with your sample players is phenomenal. So eventually, I would say within the next couple of years, everybody should be software synth. You know, unless they want to, you know, continue playing with their old vintage gear is cool too. But yeah, sonically, it's hard to beat.
Yeah,
you know, so,
I agree.
You know, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, some of the credits you've done, man. You work with a lot of major people starting out, man, like Lil Wayne and Ray J and Jim Jones, man. How was that experience?
You know, it's always good working with bigger people. You know, it's good for my career. Yeah, and I mean, working with those people, it's always like I know somebody else that has gotten a connection with them. So it's a lot of time I'm not, like, directly dealing with these people. So for instance, like a Lil Wayne and Lloyd song is, you know, I got that through another artist I knew, Young Kino. He had a few big kind of songs out here on the West Coast. But yeah, so he had a song with them, The Things He Do, that I make sound for them. And the Ray J song through another Boston area rapper that I know, Omega Red. So yeah, a lot of those things come to me like that. But yeah, it's always a blessing when that happens.
Definitely. Cool. You know, if you had to define your sound, man, if around production, you know, strictly on a production side, what really defines you as a producer? Is it the mix? Is it your sonic signature you add on your melodies? Or is it a combination of both that people kind of gravitate to your production?
It's probably just a combination of both. You know, I'm not really like going for one thing when I make my music. I just do what sounds good to me. And I think, you know, I listen to like a wide range of different styles of music. You know, I don't just listen to hip hop or R&B or pop or whatever it is. You know, I don't know. I like classical music. I like, I think I like a lot of melody kind of driven stuff. So I like to make my beats more melodic, and you know, I like them to be, you know, the bass definitely hitting good for subwoofers and stuff. And also I like the mix to be really crisp. And so maybe those are the things that I go for.
Definitely.
Now let the artist kind of handle their part of it, but I'll try to make sure my part's good.
No, I agree, man. And a point well taken there. You know, if you're going to take on the mix, you know, there's a lot of variations, you know, where and, you know, how you like to start, you know, from the mix from the ground up. What's your typical mm-hmm. technique? I know it can depend on the project, man. It could just be the vocals really kind of stand out. You first work with those. I don't like to work out the vocals too much first, but I like to just kind of center my starting point around my rhythm section and just kind of build from there. Is that what you do primarily, or do you have some other techniques when you're bringing
it? Definitely. I think that's probably where I would start too. I start with like the kick drum and the snare. Well, I mean, a lot of times when I mix too, people don't even bring me the broken down beats. It's like a two track often. But as soon as I do have a broken down beat, I will start with the kick drum, get that really solid. Probably add in the snare. Well, you said rhythm section, maybe you're talking about guitar. I don't know. I like to start with the drums, so make sure that's good because it's going to be kind of your foundation.
Definitely.
So kick, then snare, then I'll probably add in the hi-hat or something, maybe like some overhead cymbals, get the toms in there, get the drums really like pounding, and then I'll put everything, that's kind of like the bed, and I'll try to get everything kind of fitting in there. So I'll add like the guitars, the keyboard tracks, and then last thing I'll do is probably the vocals, and yeah
I agree. Now the kick and snare is usually my starting point. That is like the rhythm section, the foundation of the the track. Is there a typical signal chain you're using for drums, man? Are you kind of using outboard gear, or using some plugins? What do we got for the chain on the drums?
Well, you know what, in like the last 4 months my style is like completely changed. For a long time all I did was use really Waves Renaissance plugins. I use like the REQ, the R Comp, maybe like linear, multi-band, linear EQ. I've used a lot of that stuff, and recently I upgraded to Waves Mercury bundle, so now I have like gazillion processors that you know, I'm trying to figure out what to do with them. So recently, you know, I really like the Wave CLA compressors. I think they're real cool. You know, like the LA-2A, the 1176. I was surprised by the Eddie Kramer bundle. I thought they had some really cool things for drum sounds, especially like if you're doing a rock kind of like a more live sounding drum, they work really well. Some of the API compressor I thought was really good, the 2500. But for EQ, it's a different story. You know, I don't know. I'm not totally blown away by the plug-in EQs. I like to actually run everything back through my Avalon 737 and my 747 for EQ, especially if you're going to boost the top end, the treble. I think it's a lot cleaner. And like I said earlier in the show, you can boost it higher without it sounding really harsh and hurting your ears, but it still sounds cool. So you start boosting with a plug-in EQ, and even the high-end ones, with some of the Mercury ones, I wasn't really impressed with, like the APIs. I don't know.
No, I agree.
I'm going to be more particular about that stuff.
No, the Avalon 737, I want to bring that. I've used that on a lot of projects for vocals, and it's the compression on that thing alone could get really aggressive. I mean, you could really pound the heck out that signal on that Avalon. You know, they just really make good pre's all around. I kind of had my eye on the AD2022 series, the stereo channel Avalon. That was really nice, man. That thing has a lot of cream on that signal. All right, so what do you have on the playbook, man? What do we have on the projects, your upcoming project and things?
Well, you know, I continue to put out a soft production. I did a soft production volume 1, a soft production volume 2. And that's just basically I'm doing all the production on the beats, you know, all the mixing and mastering. And then I'm just various artists that I work with, usually local people that I've done a lot of stuff with. So I'm going to start, I need to push out this volume 2. If your listeners are out there, they can listen to it at my website, asafproductions.com. It's A-S as in Sam, A-S as in Frank, productions.com. And then obviously, you know, I'm just going to keep grinding and hopefully start to work on a third one here pretty soon. And other than that, you know, I just run my studio out here, the OC Recording Company, and just continue to work with different artists and keep progressing forward.
Man, that sounds like a hot plan and a hot agenda, man. Best of luck to you. Well, man, please don't be a stranger, Steve, man. You definitely got a spot here at the Producer's Corner, man, and I appreciate you coming by and sharing your expertise and knowledge, man. And, man, we should hook up sometimes, man, and collaborate on something, brother.
All right, sounds great.
All right, man, you take it easy.
All right, Spud, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. And shout out to ASAP folks for coming on the show and chopping it up with me. You know, it's always a pleasure for me speaking to another producer who has the background of a recording engineer also. You know, it's for me, man, I think it's real cool when a composer can really get into a sound a little bit more on the engineering side to really bring out the ideas. Because sometimes you'll hear a tone or a certain patch from a modular or from a soft synth and it's really not popping or really standing out the way you would like it to in your head when you first initially heard it, you know, as a standalone preset versus other instruments and sample sounds on top of it. You know, kind of gets lost within a mix. So again, I always like to talk to different producers and engineers, man, to see how they really build their sounds and, you know, what sounds they choose to mix with best, and, you know, just giving you a variety of their different mixes and different pre's and different software synths and hardware synths they use. And shout out again for him to coming on the show, man. I really do appreciate it. And for those of you who like to contact me for questions and suggestions, hit me up at my email, spudtootight@gmail.com. And for my past interviews, you can also hit my website up at www.spudtootightmusic.ning.com. And I want to thank you again for joining in and listening. And you guys keep those ideas fresh. Until next time, you guys keep it tight. Peace.